Today on Real Radio.
The Corinthians, some of the Corinthians, hadn't given it up. The word means they were still living in it. They were still doing it. And they'd go to church on Sunday. Praise the Lord. And they'd go right back to their Monday through Saturday life. And then they'd go to church on Sunday. Hey, hallelujah. And then they would just go right back to their life.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We've been looking at the last six verses of chapter 12. It's one of the many passages that remind us that we as believers are, quote, on display. In other words, the unbelieving world is watching us to see how we handle life's issues. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his multi-part series called By the Way You Walk.
The most important part of the church and the most expensive part of the church, you'll never see it. It's what we build on. It's all the foundation. It's all the footing. And they cracked me up because this guy goes, and you'll be happy to know, this is the latest earthquake technology. If this place shook, man, all the walls would fall away, would fall out. And I said, if it fell out, what falls down? There's the ceiling. And the ceiling comes down. And he goes, yeah, exactly. There's like a million tons of air conditioning above this sanctuary. Well, yeah, but the walls don't fall on you. Well, I feel better. That's worth a couple million bucks right there. The point is, foundations have got to be laid. If we don't lay them, we're going to be in trouble. Third and final argument, verses 20 to 21. They can, the world can, our kids know, our husband, our wives know. They know the way that we walk by our lives, period. We can't and we're not pulling the wool over anyone's eyes. They see, they know. Paul says to them, verse 24, I fear, I have this grave concern, Corinthians, that when I come, I will not find you like I want to find you. I want to find you guys awesome, excited, serving God, walking in obedience to Him, enjoying life, and being such a city on a hill that the Corinthians here in Greece are beating the door down to get into the church to find out truth. And to look at your lives and know their lives have been changed. That's what Paul wanted. But he's going to have to confront them. He's going to confront them. He's concerned about that. Our lives, by the way, let's be honest, need to be confronted. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, if you know any Christian, brother or sister, who's been caught up into sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Wow. Do you know anybody? Listen, do you know anybody who's a Christian, but they're not going to church anymore? They're wounded. Something's gone wrong. They're hurt. They're not walking with God. They've walked away from God. Do you know anybody? Now watch this. It's going to get real personal here in a moment. Do you know anybody like that? God is saying to you, you go to that person. If you love them and you, listen, if you love them, you want to carry their burden like Christ carried our burden. When did that happen? At the cross. Jesus took my burden upon him at the cross. So now God empowers you and I to go to our brothers and sisters who are no longer walking with God. They've given up. They let down their guard. Maybe somehow they've backslidden away. They've gotten sucked up by the world. I don't know. I don't need to know. But you know who they are. And God says in the word, go to them. And what? Go to them and condone it? No. Go to them and tell them it's okay. No. You go to them and you tell them, listen, I'm here right now because I love you and it's killing me that you're not walking with the Lord. They'll probably say, get off my doorstep. Right? Have you ever heard that? They'll probably say, why do you care? You say, listen, just give me 5 minutes and I won't ever bother you again if that's the decision you're making. I love you. I was at church today. I heard a message. It convicted my heart. And I just want you to know I'm praying for you. But listen, I can't condone the way you're living and what you're doing. God condemns it and I condemn it. That's not what I'm here. I'm here to tell you God wants you to come back. God wants you to come back home. The end is near. The world's gone nuts. Get ready to meet the Lord. I don't believe that. You could slip on a banana peel today. be ready to meet the Lord. Man, I want you to come back to Jesus. Come on back. If they slam the door in your face, mission accomplished. If they come back or they call you or they later show up and say, you know what? I could have knocked you out at my door, but I tell you, you were right. I haven't been able to sleep since you spoke to me. And I'm broken, I'm dying. You know what? You've won your brother. You've rescued your sister from the brink. Now, here's where it gets personal. You know somebody like that, and you're thinking, well, I'll just hire somebody to go tell them that. You're thinking, I can't do that. Yes, you can. And you're supposed to. Because you're thinking, well, I'm not holy enough to do that. Listen, God, listen, are you not here right now? You're here right now, and you're hearing this right now, and you know somebody who this applies to. God is telling you right now, when this service is over, you start making plans to go reach out to that friend who's wayward. Jesus is saying, I want to use you to bring them back home. I want to use you to get them to come back. That's how you walk with Christ. Isn't Jesus all about saving people? Isn't Jesus all about reaching them? And the confrontation that that's going to create? Listen, not all confrontation is bad. This would be good. We need to think right that way. Next, our lives need correction. Our lives need correction. He says this in verse 20. Now again, you guys, he's talking to a church. Look, would you attend a church that's like this? Hi, welcome. Welcome to the first church at Corinth, where you'll find contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. We are masters at backbiting and whispering. And we are so conceited and we're full of arguments and tumults. Won't you join us today? Paul is giving a Holy Spirit assessment of the spiritual condition of the church at Corinth. Would you go there? The word contentions here means quarrel, to debate, strife, to be at variance. There's an old word called wrangling. You're full of wrangling. That's a fun word. Wrangling. It means that everything, you have to turn everything into wrangling. Oh, you know, would you guys, you want to have some lunch? You want hot dogs or hamburgers? Why hot dogs and hamburgers? Why? Everything blows up. You want to turn left or right? Well, why can't we just go straight ahead? Well, do you want to like drop dead now or live? Well, why do I have to choose? I mean, it's always something. They're wranglers. It's like, man, you're wound a little too tight. Jealousies. This word jealousies, it means heated envy. Ooh. What? They took my parking spot. I mean, my name's not on it, but they should know by now it's where I always park. And then I walked into the sanctuary, and they're in my seat. Is your name on it? No, but everybody knows it's my seat. Yikes. I know none. The great thing is none of us know anybody like this. That's the great thing. Wrath, outburst of wrath. Outburst of wrath. That word means to breathe heatedly. You know, you've seen that? We don't do that in our culture. We're more a refined sinner. But you can tell. It's like, are you okay? I'm fine. You sure you don't look so? I'm fine. You ever seen that? Don't ask me again. I'm fine. There should be a little string on the side of their head. You pull it and the steam blows out of their ears. And then they feel better, you know. Ambitions, selfish ambitions, self-centered. We get the word one-upmanship. What does that mean? It means you always have to be on top or you always have to have the last word. And if you don't get it in, you'll email it. You'll leave a note. Somehow, you can't have any peace unless you've got the last word. Backbitings. The word backbitings, it means to defame another person. It means to, listen, this is powerful. It means to publicly shrink their reputation. Yikes. Hey, guys, we saw Mike the other day. It was great to see him. Well, you know where Mike's been, don't you? You know what he's been involved in, right? No. Well, let me enlighten you. You are shrinking his reputation. God says, that is criminal. God hates that. Whisperings. This is very tragic, but it's kind of funny. It means to whisper a slander. To whisper a slander. Listen, the word means to secretly speak a distraction. Think of that. It almost sounds like an oxymoron. Oxymoron. How can you get this thing to meet up? But it's not. Listen. How God knows our nature, right? I can be talking like this, and I can tell you that's going to be 88 degrees today, and I can tell you that it's going to be, 10-mile-an-hour winds, and then the sun's going to set at 8:35, and people are like, whatever, drone on, who cares? And then I go like this, and if I start telling you like this, if I just start to just tell you, people go like this, what's he doing? He's whispering. Quick, what is it? What? What are you whispering about? Have you noticed that about human nature? What's he saying? Shh, I don't know, quick! It's gotta be juicy if it's being whispered. It must be really big if he's talking very small. What is it? It's just us. We're talking about Bob. You've just become a participant in our huddle from hell. We're just privately, publicly destroying someone's reputation. Isn't that weird? Does God not know the human nature? Then the next word's conceits. This is a great word. It means to be puffed up. It means to be self-inflated. It means to inflate yourself. This is awesome. It implies that this person was once like a Saul. Remember King Saul? He was a nice guy at the start. Just like, I'm so unworthy. And he meant it at the start. And then people started telling him how great he is. Aren't you great? No, not really. But no, we really mean it. You're great. I am? Well, how great am I? You're so great. I am so great. Here's what happens. Here's normal. This is normal. And then, he can't even get his head in the door. Paul said the church of Corinth was like this. Whoa. Whoa, what is that? I'm so wonderful. I'm so amazing. Paul says, that's sick. When I show up, I don't want to see a bunch of big heads walking around when I get there. And then the word tumult, it means one who causes instability. It's when the ground shakes uncontrollably and even rips open. Tumults is when lies, listen, wherever this person goes, it's tumultuous. They leave in their wake disgruntled, broken, hurt, bruised people. There is a wake that they leave, and it is controversy, scandalous results. The Bible says avoid that person, by the way. Did you know that? Oh, he's a Christian. The Bible says avoid the Christian who causes those things. Did you know that? Avoid. Romans 16:7 says, now I urge you, brethren, to note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by smooth words, flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the simple. And then we end right here. We end on a boom. Our lives need contrition. Confrontation, correction, contrition. Lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, meaning God's going to use me if you guys are not walking with the Lord. He's going to use me to reveal these things, and I shall mourn like a funeral lamentation for many who have sinned. Why, Paul? Before, and they have not repented. They're still living in their sins. What kind of sins? Uncleanness. fornication, sexual. Again, this is the word porneia, which covers all sexual activity that is unsanctioned by God. Lewdness, which they have practiced. So the whole issue is they've not repented. Notice that Paul is not upset that they committed any certain sins. Listen, did you guys all hear me? We're almost done. This is important. He's not upset that they committed some certain sins. He's upset that they did not repent. And in that, are you not encouraged? Don't tell us. We don't want to know. But what is your sin? God says, I want to forgive you of it. I want your life to be well. Just tell me. Give it to me, he says. The Corinthians, some of the Corinthians, hadn't given it up. The word means they were still living in it. They were still doing it. And they'd go to church on Sunday. Praise the Lord. And they'd go right back to their Monday through Saturday life. And then they'd go to church on Sunday. Hey, hallelujah. And then they would just go right back to their life. And Paul says, you've not repented of these things. The word repent is that famous word. You hear it often here. It's the word metanoia. Change. To rethink. Paul says, you never rethought it, did you? You never thought it through that the path that you've chosen to live, your pathos of life and your ethos of life, the passion and your lifestyle, you've never reconsidered. You never thought about it. And you're heading down a path that's going to lead to absolute destruction, and you won't even give it a second thought. You've not repented. Because to repent is to give it a second thought and to say, to be honest enough with yourself and say, I'm going down the wrong road. This is not good for me. This is not good. And if I die like this, it's the end. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2 says, listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor is his ear too deaf to hear you call. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. Wow. You can stay there today, like some Corinthians, and perish. Or you can heed this next verse of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from most unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make, or the word is call, him a liar. Yikes. And his word is not in us. You see how precious and beautifully understanding he is to us? Don't say you haven't sinned. You're not only lying about yourself, you're calling God a liar because God says you have sinned. He doesn't condemn you. He says, give it to me, repent of it, and I'll fix you. I'll change your life. That's what I do. I'm Jesus. That's what I do. I change lives, changing lives for 2,000 years. Jesus. And what needs to be changed? Uncleanness. This is physical, moral impurity. Fornication, as I said, the word is porneia, porn. It's worse than clicking. Yeah, looking at a picture on a screen or a magazine is this, but it's even beyond, it covers everything from that, everything. In the mind, entertain, let that slideshow go on and on in your mind. You're in bondage, you're stuck, and God wants to free you. Lewdness. The word means a burning fixation on fill in the blank. And here's the killer word. This one word, if this defines your life, defines your destiny, which they have practiced. The word is proso. It means they regularly, repeatedly, often perform this thing. This is for all of us to heed. This is for me to hear and for you to hear. This is for me to obey and you to obey. God is saying to us what he warned the Galatians about. Those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Serious stuff. We can wrestle with it all we want. We can try to neglect this divine truth of God. You guys, this is his precious word. He didn't give it to us to kill us. He gave it to us that we might be saved by it. Remember, you had no knowledge that God loved you until he told you here that he loved you. Listen, you didn't know that he was wanting to save you until he said in here, I've come to save you. Listen, you didn't know you were lost until he said, I've come to rescue you. The world can tell by your walk who you really are. The world can tell by my walk who I really am. And God knows more than the world. He sees our hearts. Let's, right now, we can make our hearts before the Lord. It's our will. It's our decision. Like we said yesterday in the marriage conference. Am I going to love Lisa tomorrow based on my emotions? I don't know. Am I going to love my wife of 35 years and 2 months tomorrow? I don't know if my decision is based on my emotions. It depends on what I eat tonight and how I wake up in the morning. My emotions. But I can tell you right now, I'll love Lisa tomorrow and until the day we die if I take my will, which I don't have any control over my emotions, but I have 100% control over my will. And I now will to love my wife tomorrow until death do us part. I will that. What is that? What's the secret of that? Here's the secret. I decide. Yeah. To make a decision is emotionless if done right. Are you with me? Choose Jesus today because you've decided on him, not because you have a goosebump or your wife's poking you in the ribs. Don't do it out of emotion.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called By the Way You Walk, a look at the last six verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. By the Way You Walk is a multi-part series taken from Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse exploration of this New Testament letter, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, as you know, Pastor Jack is passionate on worldview, particularly the Judeo-Christian worldview. And as we've mentioned recently here on Real Radio, we are in an election cycle, which is a terrific opportunity to be salt and light, as we believers often say. Well, this is precisely why Pastor Jack has recently delivered a message entitled Understanding Where You Belong, the Christian in This World. It's a powerful message that lays out everything for the true believer to make good and godly decisions before, during, and after the voting booth. Of course, we want as many Real Radio listeners as possible to hear this, so we've made it available free of charge at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Maybe you'd like to share it with a friend. Now, if that's the case, we are making this DVD of Pastor Jack's message available for your gift of any amount to the Real Life Ministry. We just want you to watch it and share it with people you know and love. So again, visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, to hear Pastor Jack's message called Understanding Where You Belong, the Christian in This World. Or you can request the message on DVD if you'd like. Mention it by name, Understanding Where You Belong, the Christian in This World. Or simply, The Christian in This World, when you call or write. Our address is Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Let me give you that again. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our phone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.